5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. We are live and on location today in Denver, Colorado. We're set for the Pepsi Front Range Huddle at the Blake Street Tavern. It's an opportunity for area college coaches, I should say state college coaches, to come down here, meet the media. A few players will be around, and we're going to get to all that. We're going to be interviewing as many coaches as we possibly can, and we'll talk about that. Of course, we have the quarterback news of the day. Teddy Bridgewater has been officially named the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I'm just going to take the next 30 minutes to cry. That's why I brought Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, here. I just ran into you. Fancy seeing
Ryan,
you here
to
see
that?
You kind of event.
What are the odds? I don't even know what this thing was called. I was impressed you knew the name of this event.
Well, I had it written down.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I mean, there's
you're
no
going to cry, so you're not happy with this? You're a Drew Locke guy?
I'm more of a, hey, if they're 50-50,
right,
then don't you go with the guy that could potentially be your and again, I don't think he's going to be the franchise guy, but I think we can all confidently say Teddy's probably not going to be a long-term Bronco, right?
Right, right.
So I guess that's where I went.
I guess I'm the guy that says, I don't think either of them are your franchise quarterbacks.
You're probably right, yeah.
I think by year number three, if you haven't, this is my opinion, if you haven't seen market improvement in Drew Locke, if he's still making the same mistakes in year number three that he was making in year number one and year
sure.
number two, In my view, it's time to maybe start looking elsewhere, in which case, I fully understand from Vic Fangio's standpoint, you've got a top-five defense potentially. You got quite a bit of skill around him. You got a team that's got a chance to be a playoff team, and you got a new general manager. You want to do whatever is good for your football team so you can save your own skin and keep your job. And that's why I wasn't shocked. And the other thing I'll say about this too, Brady, I think it's easier to go from Teddy Bridgewater to Drew Locke than it is to go from Drew Locke to Teddy Bridgewater if you've got to make a change during the year.
Yeah, well.
And the reason I say that is because Teddy's the kind of guy, if in game three you make a change, you can go back to Teddy because he's a veteran guy, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
The other way around, I think Drew Locke then becomes Paxton lynched. He becomes damaged goods if you say you're done. And then you got to put him back in at some point in time.
Yeah, so, and there's no question mark. When you saw Teddy play on Saturday, he looked better. Drew came in, and the line wasn't great, but Teddy had to work with that same line. So if you want to use that logic, I get it. At the end of the day, we'll see. I mean, this should be a decent team this year defensively.
I think so.
It might not matter who the quarterback is when you go. But speaking of backup quarterbacks in that situation, you guys with the Buffs are very aware what can happen when you're – well, I guess you wouldn't even say J.T. Shrout was a backup quarterback.
Right.
He was right there in the thick of it. You and I were talking, I think, a week before he went down, and you felt, hey, this is a 50-50 battle.
I thought it was a great quarterback battle. And the thing that kind of surprised me when we got into camp was, coming out of spring ball, I thought J.T. had the lead. I thought he looked more like a quarterback is supposed to look. He was controlled. The ball was coming out quick, making quick decisions, all those sorts of things. But – Brendan Lewis really made it a quarterback battle, in my view. I mean, Brendan's always been a physical guy. He runs very well. And, you know, JT runs well. Let's put it this way. He runs well enough where Brendan Lewis really runs well. And so when I saw them then in fall camp, I thought Brendan Lewis really made up ground and made that a quarterback battle. And they're both, you know, that quarterback battle with the Broncos, I kind of joked. I'm not sure for a while there. It didn't look like either guy was going to take the job, right? I mean, it was a hot potato, and they're sending it back and forth. I thought Brendan Lewis and JT Shrout were both trying to take the job, and then, you know, Brendan gets it by default because of the injury to JT Shrout, and you feel bad for him. But Brendan's got a little bit of a swagger to him. He's got, you know, the old Bill McCartney line, you know, the mental is to physical is four is to one. Do you believe you're supposed to be there? Do you believe you can do this job? Do you believe you're capable of leading everybody out there? Brendan Lewis walks in the field now, looks like a quarterback to me. He's got that feel about him, and I think that's a huge thing. I never had that feel, by the way, with Drew Locke. I was telling somebody just a moment ago who we got talking about it, and when he first walked on campus, I know plenty of people in Missouri, I never felt it. I didn't see it. Now, he had all the physical capabilities, the arm, runs well, all these different things, but he never – and I know this is kind of an odd thing to say, but I'm one of those guys, after all these years covering sports, I watch guys and my eyes tell me, does he feel like he belongs there? There's something about that. It's an intangible, and you don't always pick it up immediately, but I never felt it with him.
Yeah, and I think even last year, listen, I – I talked about it and said, I don't feel like Drew's the guy. Yeah. And then as we progressed and Denver didn't draft anybody, they didn't go all in on a Matt Stafford or, you know, and of course Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, that became a moot point anyway.
Yeah.
But you didn't really hear that they were going to move the needle and get a quarterback. So I thought, man, they're pretty confident that they want to try this with Drew Lock. So I guess that's where my brain started to go, all right, they're going with this guy. Bring Teddy in, who's mostly a backup quarterback at this stage, but with the Saints when Drew Brees went down, he looked like he did those first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, yeah, look good. So, you know, I think, you know, I wondered about not drafting a quarterback as well. I do think there's going to be some question. Patrick Surtain looks like he's going to be amazing player.
Yeah, right? Champ Bailey-like, right?
And it's going to be one of those, you know, and should they have taken Trey Lance, should they have taken Justin Fields, all these different kind of things. And you look back on it and you say, well, maybe they could have and should have, but you're getting a guy that looks like he might be one of those elite guys, and so it's hard to make that argument. It's like back in the day when, you know, everyone could blame Portland for taking Sam Bowie and not Michael Jordan, but you couldn't blame Houston for taking Hakeem Olajuwon and not Michael Jordan, right?
Sure.
And so it's that kind of mentality, I think, with this whole deal with Patrick Surtain. And so, you know, one of these other young quarterbacks they may look at and say, maybe we could have taken him and maybe found our guy, but since they had Surtain there, they had him graded that high, they didn't take anybody. You've got the new general manager, who I still think for George Payton, this is kind of a year to watch.
Kind of a test-type year.
Let's see if everyone's kind of working and playing for their job. You know, none of the stink, if it shows up, is going to be on George Payton, right?
Sure.
It's not going to be on him. He's going to be able to sit back and kind of watch this thing, and then his imprint will really be on this thing moving forward.
Yeah, well, we're talking a lot about quarterbacks, and it seems like this, Mark, and now obviously we know the Buffs are set with Brennan Lewis because of, like you said, by default. But a couple of weeks ago, the only sure thing at the quarterback position was the University of Northern Colorado with Dylan McCaffrey. Here comes Coach McCaffrey now. So that was kind of the only sure thing, at least at that point. So I'm excited to see that all unfold next week. We're going to see Brennan Lewis. We're going to see Dylan McCaffrey next Friday night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I know with Eddie showing up here, I got to get out of the chair and make sure you
come back. You're going to hang out here, right?
Well, I'll get some food and come back.
You're just going to hang out here all the time.
Whenever you need somebody, I'll jump back on. I'm always a hog for a microphone like that. But I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see, you know, Ed and his team on the field and you know, not playing last year and having a full year running start at this. What Carl Durrell's got now that he finally gets a year to prepare for a football season, so that shortened, truncated year a year ago. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward. Listen, anytime we can get back in a stadium and have a real game and see college football the way it's supposed to be, we're all
going
to be happy.
I'm going as a fan next week, too.
Good for you.
So you're going to be working. I'm going to be there, you know, just being a fanboy. And that's exciting for me.
Keep it down there because the security at Folsom Field will come and find you.
I might do something. You never know. Mark, let's get you back on at some point throughout the day, my friend.
All right, sounds good.
All right, let's bring we can bring Coach McCaffrey on the program. Coach Ed McCaffrey, the UNC Bears. Man, this is awesome. We're live at the Pepsi Front Range Huddle, the media luncheon, and hopefully I didn't interrupt Coach's lunch. Coach McCaffrey joining us now. Coach, good to see you, man. Was it good?
Just finishing up. Yeah, it was phenomenal.
That's great, man. I mean, just a great lunch down here at the Blake Street Tavern. It's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, what a great location this is, right across from Coors Field. Beautiful day. Can't quite see the mountains with the smoke, but other than that, beautiful
day.
That's
great. Well, I love this. Selfishly, I love this event because we get all you guys in one room, and we get to interview. We get to talk to you. You guys are grilled nonstop. What do you think of it? Do you like it?
Oh, it's great. I get to see a lot of my friends and fellow coaches who, you know, Carl coached me back in Denver, and a lot of the head coaches here. We've had communication over the last couple of years about our dilemma and the pandemic and how to move forward. So, yeah, I've been a member of the media for a long time, so it's good to see all my buddies.
Yeah, it's a little easier for you, I think, than a lot of coaches because you've been on the player side, you've been on the media side, and now the head coach side for UNC. So, I mean, you're covering it from all angles.
Yeah, this is the life I've chosen. Good place to be, a lot of good people here.
So has the trash talk started yet between your old coach Carl Durrell yet?
Oh, there's no trash talk. Neither one of us are big trash talkers.
True. Yeah, it doesn't seem like, though. So you guys got a great relationship, obviously. That's got to be strange, though, that very first game, because we know what happened last year. Your very first game as the head coach for the Bears is against one of your old guys next Friday night. We couldn't get much better than that against the Colorado Buffaloes.
No, not at all. No, I've been a big fan of Coach Durrell for a long time. Love playing for him with the Broncos, and then excited for him to be the Pac-12 Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, I mean, that was
sensational. He's had a lot of success. I always root for the Colorado football players that have grown up playing with and against my own kids.
Yeah.
And for all the coaches that I've had the pleasure of playing for over the years. And Carl's one of those guys really important in my career. And I'm so appreciative for the opportunity that CU's giving us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that when an FBS team plays an FCS team, they they financially help support the programs
in
our school. Not just football, but all of the sports programs. We couldn't exist without them. So I'm very appreciative, and also for the great opportunity they're giving the football players on our team to play on Friday night under the lights on the big stage. I mean, it doesn't get any better than
that. What do you think? I mean, Friday night, of course, you're familiar with those Friday night games on the Valor Christian side of things, playing on those Friday nights. Do you like this, or are you ready to go, hey, I'll be ready to go back to Saturdays?
No, I prefer Friday nights under the lights. Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Under the lights is awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the schedule I'm used to. It's a little hotter, especially the beginning of the season at 1 o'clock. We'll probably be thankful near the end of the year. But, no, under the lights is the best.
You guys have such an interesting dynamic, Coach. I loved Media Day, listening to you, listening to your offensive coordinator, Max, your quarterback, Dylan. I've never seen a dynamic quite like that. Head coach, dad, and the offensive coordinator, son, the quarterback, son. You've been covering football for a long time, too, on the media side. Have you seen a dynamic quite like that with the family all involved?
There are coaches that have coached their own sons,
even
here in the state of Colorado, whose other sons helped coach. So it's not the first time it's happened, but wow, what a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, when I was coaching in high school, I originally had stepped away from coaching my sons because I played for the Broncos, and it's about them, not me, and I didn't want to get in the way, and it's their experience. But then my last year, I got to coach my son, Luke. And I was hesitant because, again, I didn't want to take away from his experience, but I talked to some of my buddies whose dads coached them growing up, and they said it was the greatest experience of their life. And I found that to be true, coaching my son in high school. So when Dylan decided to commit to UNC, it was a real blessing. He had a lot of other opportunities, could have played for a lot of different coaches at different schools. And I put my dad cap on and said, you got to go take these visits, or visits were a little different during COVID, but have these conversations, and it's got to be your decision. I'm not even going to recruit you here. You know what I have to offer, but and what UNC has to offer, but this is your decision. But got to admit, I was really blessed that he decided to play for us, and I was blessed that my son Max, decided to leave. He was playing in the XFL at the time and said, look, I think I want to coach. You know, I'd rather coach right now than play. And he had played for several NFL teams over the previous four seasons and absorbed a wealth of knowledge and had a great experience. And so, man, what a positive addition he's been to our staff and has been doing a great job.
So what's that transition like for you guys? Okay, maybe Dylan not so much because, like you said, you gotta be able to separate the coach with the player all the time. But Max, of course, offensive coordinator, are you guys, is it like 100% talking football all the time? I mean, what's that balance like?
Yeah, you really do. And I think any coach who's ever coached a son or worked with a son will tell you, you have to take off your coach's cap when you leave the building. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have football conversations occasionally.
Sure.
But, father-son comes first. Football coach and assistant coach or player come second to me. But you can do both if you respect each other. And I think Max has had some pretty good coaches throughout his career because he maintains that professionalism in the office. And, we have boundaries that we both respect.
We're talking to UNC Bears head coach here live from the Blake Street Tavern at the Pepsi Front Range Huddle, an awesome opportunity for coaches, players, get out here and be surrounded by the media all day today. So it's a really fun opportunity. Coach, I loved when you were first, when the announcement was made and you spoke to so many folks in Greeley. It was, I think that auditorium held like 300 people. It was full. It was the most people I've seen at any kind of event like that around UNC football. Do you think about that, how this entire community up north is getting behind this program in a way I haven't seen personally since I've been covering the Bears? There's a buzz around this program. I mean, it's got to be kind of a special feeling.
No, it's a great opportunity. We have an unbelievable community. A lot of alumni have stopped by our practices. I think we sold out our tickets in record time last year before we had a season.
Wow.
And so, I had the opportunity to play for the Broncos when we had training camp up on the Northern Colorado campus. I spent 8 or 9 years up there.
Yeah.
And during that time, UNC won a couple of D2 national championships. And I remember the excitement about football back then. You know, since then, we've moved up to D1, and we are playing a tougher schedule. And we're trying to bring that excitement and that buzz and that love of the game back. Because it's not just great for our coaches and our players. It's great for our school.
Sure.
Our faculty, our student body, the community, or alumni. Just, it's such a great social event for everybody involved to have some school pride and to really congregate around a football game. And so that's what we're hoping to do. We're hoping to put a great product out on the field so everybody wants to get involved.
Yeah, no question about it. I go places all over and people are at, hey, this is going to be great. We're so excited. I can't imagine from your side of things. I love the fact that you brought up the training camp too. I used to come up as a kid, and I think I told you this when I first met you, when you did the press conference. My sister. She was dying for an Ed McCaffrey glove, anything she could get her hands on. And she was desperately asking, I think, the water boys, the Broncos water boys, hey, can you get me something with Ed McCaffrey? And I think you had just left, so I got she got a John Mobley glove. And she's like, I don't know who John Mobley is. I want you. So I still to this day have that John Mobley glove because we got that. That was like the second best thing for my sister. So I have to tell that story. It was something else.
Yeah, no, he was an All-Pro Super Bowl winning linebacker.
Man, stud.
Who went to Kutztown, a small school in Pennsylvania, back where I went to high school. That's a very valuable glove. Hold on to that.
I have it still,
John
man.
Mobley, great player. But I will get you a glove. I was going to ask for it back because we're in short supply.
We don't have the budget. I got John.
We don't have the budget to order more gloves. So if I could get that back. But
yeah, well, I love that story. Again, fans. And that's the thing. People would come, not just living in Greeley, people would come up to Greeley to support the Broncos. And I think, again, that was that magical ride, too, when you guys were going to the Super Bowls and fans got behind it. So when the name Ed McCaffrey was connected to UNC, the place just lost their mind. So it's a really fun dynamic.
The support for the Broncos and for football up in northern Colorado and near Greeley is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Remember the thousands of fans on the hill
sitting
down watching the practices and just love the Broncos, love football, and we're hoping they're going to continue to love northern Colorado.
Yeah, Coach, I won't keep you much longer, man. I love talking to you. I'm a huge fan. I'm going to be attending the game as a fan next week. So I'm not going to the press box. I'm not messing with that. This is a special football game, and I'm going to hang on to that ticket.
All right, we'll sit on our sideline.
I'll be there, my friend.
I don't want to. Yeah, okay.
I'll be in my UNC gear. I'll be waving, man.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it, and the best of luck to you. Can't wait till Friday night.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Coach. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. We're live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle at the Blake Street Tavern. That was Coach Ed McCaffrey for the UNC Bears. We'll see who else is hanging around here, too. We'll talk to him throughout the day. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
26 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle Media Luncheon at the Blake Street Tavern. What are you giggling at me for?
They
already
have changed the name of this. I mean, it's only been 2 years.
It's not the Pepsi Front Range?
No, you're right. Oh, okay. You're right. No, but I tweeted it out. I'm like, yeah, I'm going down to the Colorado College Football Summit, and I think that's what it was 2 years ago.
I don't know.
They just keep switching it up.
It's basically an opportunity for Division I coaches and a few players, I think, to come out here so the media can surround them. Like a pack of wolves. We got Tanner Schwintz here, of course, the voice of the UNC Bears. Jerry Schimmel's hanging out down here. Jerry, man, we're so happy to be able to hear you broadcast. That guy standing right beside you.
Yeah.
McCaffrey's game's coming up starting next Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be
fun. Yeah, just a lot of hype around the football program right now, and this is the reason right here. This guy standing, former NFL star and his son's involved in all that. There's just a lot of attention, and not just, like we talked about Brady yesterday, not just locally, but I think nationally. I think a lot of people have their eye. Got a friend of mine that works for USA Today. He says, hey, I'm going to keep my eye on this team this year, and if they have some success, I'm probably going to do something about it. Ed McCaffrey in USA Today. So, yeah, a lot of hype, and it's all good stuff. Let's hope we can win a few games now.
Nah, it really is. And
Ed, come on. Let's win a few games.
Good luck, Ed.
Yeah.
There he goes.
He's just being whisked away.
Yeah.
Jerry said that Ryan Pfeiffer with him, of course. He said that Ryan was getting a workout chasing his son around at the scrimmage. I said, "What do you think he gets more workout chasing Ed around?
Because
I think that might be the case.
Yeah, well. They're doing some photo shoots back in that secret room over there, I believe. They covered it all up with black sheets, so I don't know what's happening back there.
I think we should go back there and find out.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe they're giving the really exclusive interviews.
I was built for radio. You can hear me. I don't need to be seen. So I think I might stay back over here.
They stuffed us back here for a reason. I joked with David, who set this. David Plotty, a wonderful guy, set this thing up, right? And I said, hey, can you stick us as far back? Can we go back any further, or can we go outside? Well, we're radio guys. We're used to it.
Yep.
But, Jerry, that is going to be such a – I joked with that. I said, think about that. That's your first college football game. Carl Durrell, who you have a great relationship with, who was a coach of yours, and that's your first game as a head coach. is, and again, not just against Carl Durrell, but it's, you know, the top school in the state of Colorado, in the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're playing the best team, best program in the state to begin your college career, and I think Ed, knowing him, you guys know him too a little bit, he'll be up for that. He's ready for that. He wants that challenge. Didn't want to play, you know, Dakota State University in Madison, South Dakota, where I'm from, to start the slate. They want to go against a big boy. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of attention to it. And I just think they're going to put up a good fight. Might not win that game, but, you know, I think they'll move the football.
Well, and isn't that something that he's bringing to the stage too, that there is no stadium too big. There's no moment too big, because he's been at the biggest, moments.
Yeah, the absolute biggest in all of football.
Right, and his sons have too. So I think there's something to be said for that. And, you know, if CU's overlooking UNC, who knows, right? You can take so much from camp, but you know those Bears are not going to be scared going down into Folsom.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when you think maybe CU's going to overlook them, I think you might be mistaken by that. I think CU's looking this team going, man, Ed McCaffrey's your coach, and Dylan McCaffrey's your quarterback. We tried to recruit him. We couldn't, you know, he didn't want to go to Michigan, didn't want to come to CU. I don't think they're overlooking him at all. In fact, I think they're probably bracing for a pretty good fight to come a week from Friday. So let's hope that's the case, and they put up a good fight, and I think they will, but I just think the atmosphere is going to be a lot of fun. I know these two teams played each other a few years ago, and it wasn't the same as it is now with McCaffrey there. But I think it'll be very interesting, to say the least, and it's certainly a lot of fun.
What I think's interesting, too, okay, here we are in Denver. And it's not to say Ernest Collins Jr. wasn't a great guy, but I don't recall the media just kind of surrounding him
when
he walked in.
Yeah.
Because, again, at the end of the day, the Bears just didn't win football games. Yeah. I mean, they had 2 years where they were a game over 500, and that was it, 6-5, and that's just not going to excite people. Here we are today. I mean, is this fair to say Carl Durrell's a great Pac-12 Coach of the Year, Coach Addazio? There's some excitement there, but Ed McCaffrey's the most popular guy in this room.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody's flocking to him.
Yeah.
You know, as they should. It's a great story, and you hope that he can win some games to back up that story. But I like the fact that Ed is so comfortable with it. You know, he walks in the room, and people are flocking to him, and he's okay with that. He's used to that. He's a Super Bowl champion, and he's used to the limelight, and he's got some coaching behind him now. I think he's just a confident guy. He's always been a confident guy. I think he's a confident coach now, and I think that's going to make a big difference, because that rubs off on your players, as you know. When you have a coach that struts around like he did last Saturday in that scrimmage, and looked like he'd been doing it for 20 years, when he'd been doing it for a couple, that rubs off on players. They sense that, they catch that, and they respond that way. So I think it's just a great combination of this hire, just a great combination of things to make this program go.
No question.
Well, you were talking about the storyline, Jerry. I mean, you've been around the block. You've had a lot of experience with this. Have you ever seen, you know, a head coach who his son's his offensive coordinator, his other son's the quarterback? I mean, have you ever seen such a family affair like this? This is once in a lifetime.
Yeah, and the Caffreys are like the first family of football, you know, with Christian and the star that he is, and Ed's the Super Bowl. I mean, it really is, and they're all great athletes. And even Max, who gets overlooked a little bit, the oldest one, who's the assistant coach now, was a really good player.
Yeah.
Great high school player and a solid college player. So it's kind of the first family of football. But, no, I've never seen it before. And I was telling Brady yesterday, I think on the air, might have been off the air, but it seems like these coaches-kids combination never seem to work real well in college football. Let's hope this is the exception to that, and I have a feeling it's going to be.
Right, because that opens up a whole can of worms if, you know, Dylan can't come out here and perform. Yeah. Then there's growing pressure, and as a dad, can you bench your son? I mean, and I know you got to take that hat off, but there's a whole world of pressure that gets put on if UNC doesn't perform, specifically if Dylan doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll be curious to see what the – look, you and I talked about this. The pressure is really not going to be on Ed this year. I mean, the fact that Ed McCaffrey's the coach, that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's a win expectation. I mean, I guess it depends on who you ask. If they go winless, then maybe you're frustrated. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, maybe the expectations are 3 or 4 wins, but maybe some say 5 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're getting 5 or 6, then you have a very successful season.
Sure.
And they're always pointing at Ed going, that's what we expected. That's what we thought might happen with this team. So, Yeah, and I got a feeling, too, just because it's a first-year head coach, and Ed doesn't have a great deal of coaching experience, the team just gets better and better as the year goes on. I think it'll be more that than they start sliding as the year goes on. I think they'll just get better. A lot of transfers and guys that haven't played together for and have never played together on lines, defensive lines, offensive lines, are doing it for the first time. So that tendency is for your team to get better as you go to a season.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, you were at the scrimmage last week, Tanner. You were at UNC Media Day.
Right.
There is something about just listening to these players talk, and I know we joked about it. It's easy to fall in love when everyone's 0-0.
Yeah.
But there is something. You know, you're listening to R.J. Potts, you're listening to some of these transfers, and the way they're talking, it does sound a little bit different. But again, they all kind of can carry that sometimes,
well,
so it's,
I think
it's
it was
exciting.
I think there's no doubt it's a culture change because the McCaffreys, like you mentioned, they expect to win. They don't just expect to compete. They expect to win, and when a football program changes their level of confidence from, yeah, we're going to compete to, yeah, we're going to win, you know, that's something that can push teams over the top and can start to build a program, and what, I think that's what UNC is trying to do.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think I told Brady this too, that I was really impressed just watching the body language of Dylan McCaffrey last Saturday. It was, you know, when he wasn't running the offense, he had the first two drives and then he was out basically for the rest of the, but he was in the defensive huddle and helping the quarterbacks come off the field, designing plays, talking to coach. I mean, just all over
that.
The place. Not like, hey, I'm the Michigan transfer high school player of the year. I'm going to stand over here by myself and you guys cater to me. It wasn't that way at all. It's just the opposite. I was really impressed by that.
Was there a specific group that really caught you off guard that maybe impressed you that said, okay, you know, this is going to be the strength of this team?
Yeah, I think the wide receiver spot is pretty deep, and there's some talent there. There's some big possession type of receivers, and then there's some smaller, faster ones. And from what I can tell in talking to people that day, it's maybe six or seven deep where the quarterback, with McCaffrey or somebody else, is comfortable throwing the football to. So I think that's probably it. The other thing that I'm sensing is the offensive line is much improved from a year ago. Some transfers are going to start there. Their size are going to average about 315, which is, you know,
that's a big group.
That's a Division I type of average size in the offensive line. So, and there's some, not just size, but some talent there. So, and the defensive line, they say as well, should be much improved. But I think the wide receiver position is probably the biggest. And when you got a Michigan transfer throwing the ball to him, probably a pretty good combination.
Well, they're going to have their work cut out for him to start that first game of the season. I like it, though, because no matter what happens in that game, we've joked about the spread, what's that going to be? Is it 20, 24? Is it higher than that? You got to feel, even if CU works them, if that happens, and again, it could, maybe the Bears are battle-tested from that, and then that makes the rest of the season a little bit easier.
I think that's kind of what they're planning on, Brady. I really do. I don't think there are a whole lot of people following the Bears expect them to pull an upset. I don't think that's going to happen, especially being in Boulder, and especially a good CU team like we're going to face here. But I think it'll be just a great test for them, and then it'll be something they can build off of, even though – and you don't hear this very often, well, a loss is going to propel us. I think that has a chance to if they play well.
Yeah.
And just build off a good effort. You're going to get beat on the road at CU, but let's have a good effort. We can build on that moving forward.
Well, and that's why it's a win-win for UNC, right, going down there. Even if they do lose, they keep it competitive. But you reverse the roles there for CU. There's not a whole lot of winning going on. If they do win this game, then well, you beat UNC. If you lose, then – Oh my goodness, Boulder's going to be on fire that next Saturday.
Even if it's a close game, you got to think CU's kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, 10-point game. Even.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that will be what we're all hoping for, is it can be a close game, right? That we can keep it close.
Jerry, did you just say you want Boulder to catch on fire? Is that what I heard there?
I think that, you know, we talked about it the other day. It's you know, if the Bears can hang in that first quarter, and it's not crazy, then maybe, you know, you start to get that confidence booster on the sidelines and they start to believe, because that's a dangerous thing, right? Belief.
Yeah.
And if they can hang in past the first quarter, maybe into the second half, this team maybe believes they can hang with them.
And I think the other factor there is going into that game, Brady, that they're going to have – a quiet confidence to them. Not that we're going to pull the upset, but we're going to play hard, and we're going to be ready, and we're going to give these guys a match because McCaffrey's not intimidated. His son is not. And that, like I said, rubs off on the players. They're going to be excited about it. I think they're going to run out on Folsom Field and be legitimately excited about playing great football that night.
Well, the three key figures that you point to on a football team, right, is head coach, you know, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. And all of them have the same last name, and they've all got that swagger, that smooth confidence. And you look up, and everybody else following these guys into battle, you say, let's go do it. Let's go do the damn thing. And I hope that's what we see, you know, just next Friday.
Yeah. Yep, and I think what you're going to see with Ed McCaffrey, too, if anything like when he was playing, and I saw some of his games when he was coaching at Valor High School, is even keel. No matter if you're winning or you can never tell by looking at him whether you're up by 50 or down by 50 with him. He's going to be that way. And that, guys, rubs off on players too.
Yeah.
All right, we get beat up. No big deal. We're going to get back out there on Monday, and we're going to try to win the next game.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I love this event for this reason. It gets us excited for the following week because all the teams are back in action. Next week, college football is in action this weekend. A few teams, kind of staggered, but we get all of them. We get our Colorado teams rocking and rolling next week, and it's going to be a busy weekend. Guys, appreciate you jumping on. Jerry, looking forward to it, man. Can't wait. And I know the Ed McCaffrey Coaches Show coming up at the GOAT in Greeley, so that'll be fun.
Tuesday, right?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, coming right up.
Yeah.
Here we go, guys.
We're going to be ready to rock and roll. I'm good.
Let's do this.
They still have some of those nachos left, too, Jerry. If you want.
That's actually an impressive dent that they put in that.
Guys, we are looking at a plate of nachos I've never seen before.
Oh, it's huge.
Listeners, you wouldn't believe it.
Could the three of us finish that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I might have to get on my bike, do about a 100-mile bike ride first.
That's true. Jerry's more of a fitness guy.
Throw some beer down. Those nachos.
No, I could be. I'm right there with you.
Okay.
Trust me. Yeah, we could do it.
You can at least work it off, though. Tanner and I just lie down in the middle of the grass for a while.
Somebody should take a picture and tweet that
out. I'm going to ask those people if we can do that.
That is a plate of food.
You guys are awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Tanner had some fill-ins today for NoCo Now because he's come down here because apparently, I'm not good at figuring out this equipment. So.
We just don't want you to get lost.
You get lost
out of the studio, and I start to worry about you, about where you're going.
I'm in the studio, and I get lost. I bet you I'm the only guy that got lost in the Shields parking lot because I went in one way, went out the other way, and I said, well, someone stole my car. Yeah. That is obviously what happened here.
And you did miss your turn coming down here, too.
I did. I missed my turn coming down here, even with Tanner, but you weren't paying attention. You know what you have to do. There's a reason you're with me.
I'll get behind the steering wheel when we leave.
I wish I could say I'd never done that, by the way, come out of a store and not found my car.
Hey, well, Jerry, I'm not terrible at driving, right? It's not terrible. All right, 12:41 the time. Jump out of here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
12:46 the time. Welcome back to the show. It's the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for being with us here today. Man, I'm blowing through this clock today. This doesn't even make sense. Mark Knutson, great friend of the station, great friend of the show, joining us.
I feel like Gene Bartow. I'm following the legend.
Jerry's like John Wooden,
and I'm the guy following him.
Well, you know what? It's really fun to get you guys all out here, though.
It's cool.
I don't have to call and chase you guys down. But it's the Pepsi Front Range Huddle. We're at the Blake Street Tavern in Denver. I didn't know if they'd let us Northern Colorado people in, but they did.
Why?
So that was cool. You never know. You can't trust us.
Because you got McCaffrey now, man.
We do.
Everybody loves him. We have a ticket.
We just hide behind him, and they let us go anywhere.
You got the man now.
Yeah, we do. And it's cool. I mean, I was joking with Jerry about this. I said, you know, 2 years ago, God love Ernest Collins Jr., but he walked in the room, and it wasn't, you know, people didn't crowd around him. And again, that's because he didn't win. If he would have won, it might have been a different story.
Right.
But this is Ed McCaffrey. This is a legend who should be in the Ring of Fame, right?
Shouldn't he?
I mean, his fame should be Ring of Fame.
Yeah, you think it'll happen eventually.
Yeah. I've talked about this. He said, stats don't matter. I said, is that what, you know, how we determine who's on the Ring of Fame? I mean, heck, you go by fame, right? They chanted Eddie at all the games.
I mean, listen, that whole thing, and you can talk about baseball, too, with the Hall of Fame, you know, numbers. Listen, Clayton Kershaw's not going to win 200 games.
Yeah.
So are the numbers going to get him into the Hall of Fame anymore? It's not about numbers. It's about what you did for your team. And the guy won 2 Super Bowls, and you know, he actually won another one with the Giants. And I mean, come on. He's one of the, I think they called him the first family of Colorado football.
I would say so.
Because, I mean, I was joking with Tanner, what's the over-under that Friday night game with UNC and CU? What's the over-under on sideline shots of Christian McCaffrey? Because you know he'll be there.
Oh,
so what's
a
10?
Oh, I never thought about that.
10.
I need some autographs.
Right?
Yeah.
The whole McCaffrey, I mean, Max is up in the booth calling plays. Mom will be in the stands. Luke, you know, I mean, the Dylan's taking the snaps. Come on, it's the first family.
It's huge, man. I mean, well, it's what's crazy is if we would have said 2 years ago UNCCU, we'd be like, oh, there's no interest at all here. This is a practice game for the Buffs. But now suddenly, yeah, you're going to have the McCaffreys, and Christian's probably going to be there.
Well, I wrote about this in my blog this week, and it'll be on – it's the third strike, so I highlighted it on Friday. But this could be – on paper, it's a mismatch, right, because CU's got the better recruits and a lot more depth. But UNC's got all these kids coming in, these transfers with chips on their shoulders, right?
Yeah.
Something to prove, including Dylan. Something to prove. And we've seen it before, especially you and I go to a lot of CSU games. An FCS school like Weber State come in and scare the daylights out of CSU.
Yeah.
Early
yeah.
in the season, before injuries hit, that FCS team can usually give those big boys a battle. And, you know, there's no Rocky Mountain Showdown this year, which we're all disappointed about. But this is a fitting substitute.
This actually works.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bummer that CSU didn't find a way, too, to get UNC. And I don't know what
they would have played last year.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. But we'll get them in basketball
mm-hmm.
this year, which,
yeah.
I mean, that's exciting, too.
Yes.
Mark, I
got
to try to catch up with the clock, so I got to take a quick break here. We'll keep Mark Knutson with us here on the other side. We're live in Denver from the Blake Street Tavern with this Pepsi Front Range huddle. We're hoping to get some coaches on in the second hour as well. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Tune in at 5 for a full football preview of Resurrection Christian as 13 days, 13 teams rolls on. Coverage is presented by Advanced Roofing on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Morning traffic, news, and issues. Mornings with Gale, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're doing something different. We're in Denver. Yeah. It's crazy. I get lost easily, man, and driving in Denver.
Welcome.
How do you do it every day? Mark Knutson.
I don't do it every day, but
how do you do it at all?
I mean, it's like the back of my hand now.
It's just scary to me. I mean, there's 45,000 one-ways down
here.
Oh, I mean, I'm in Greeley, and before Greeley, it was Cheyenne Wells. We didn't even have a stoplight.
Yeah, but you know what? Greeley has those 10th Avenue and 10th Street. How do you keep those? That's confusing.
That's just a Greeley rule that we all know now,
know.
But
well,
when you explain it to people, well, it turns into it's ninth for a moment, and then if you blink, it turns into 10th.
Yes.
That's how that's what we can do to confuse Denver people,
because right.
you guys have
make
us very confused. this is fun, man. I mean, just looking around, we're going to talk to Steve Adazio coming up. I'll tell you what, Ed McCaffrey's getting a lot of the press, and I understand that. But you got Carl Durrell, who's the Pac-12 Coach of the
Should
Year.
Should have been National Coach of the Year.
Should have been National. I agree with you.
Based on what he did and how he did it.
He got the latest start of anybody because he had to deal with COVID.
No
plus
spring.
The
I didn't meet his players until the summer.
Exactly. So
crazy.
I agree with you there. I think he's a sensational guy. We've had him on the air. But I have to tell you, Adazio makes me want to just get down and do like 30 push-ups. I talk to him, and I'm like, dude, I feel like I'm a college football player now.
He's an offensive lineman's dream.
Oh, my gosh. He has all these sayings, too, and he's like, you know, I like the knuckles when they form the horns, and then they turn into the ring. And you're like, I don't know what you're saying, but give me the ball. I'm going to run over a 300-pound dude. I feel like I can.
Do you think they're going to be any good?
You know,
I got to see that quarterback throw the football. I know he was hurt last
year. Well,
now
it's scary with Valisi being down, with the backup quarterback being down. Does that register in the back of your mind? Do we run as much now? Because if he goes down, you're in trouble.
I'm concerned because these transitions from class, you know, totally different styles of football. And these transitions, there's a lot of lumpy times in there, right? Because you got square peg, round hole kind of stuff.
No question.
I'm concerned about that for the Rams.
Yeah.
And it's a tough schedule. 2 Power 5 games in the first 4 weeks.
Oh, the first 4 games are going to be absolutely nuts. I mean, because you look at South Dakota State, and we've talked
about
it enough.
That's an FCS thing.
Yeah, nobody, and I'll tell you, they're so good now that even people that don't follow football are like, yeah, but that's not necessarily a gimme.
It's pretty obvious to fans that.
So, again, that's not like a CU-UNC thing. If CSU does happen to lose that game, I don't know that everyone should be freaking out necessarily. But then again, that Mountain West Conference might be pretty good this year.
It could. It could be. It absolutely could be. And when CSU's situation coming back, again, the transfer portal messes up everything, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
does.
CU lost their quarterback. CSU lost their quarterback, not for any other reason. They didn't want to go play someplace else. There's so much unknown.
Yeah.
These guys are putting out these predictions, and I know CSU's picked in the middle of the pack, and UNC's picked last in the Big Sky. How do you know?
Yeah.
UNC's got all these new faces, these transfers.
I was shocked that they were picked last, because at the end of the day, say what you will about Dylan McCaffrey, but bottom line is you got a Michigan transfer.
Who played at Notre Dame, threw a touchdown pass at Notre Dame.
Who played it,
yes.
At a very high level.
Right.
So I do think that it makes sense, but it's going to
be interesting. But, I mean, you're flipping coins right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is. After last year's joke of a season, and all, it's – you can't make predictions. I don't know how anybody can make a prediction right now.
I don't know either, man. But this is a lot. I love it. We're going to get Steve Adazio on next. Like I said, they all have these different characteristics that
yes.
I absolutely love. So
you're right. You're
we're going to
right.
talk to Coach Mark.
Season.
It's good seeing you, man.
It's good being here.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming to your neck of the woods now.
I know.
So,
welcome.
Obviously, Blakester Tavern's great, but we'll find out some more spots after this.
Enjoy.
All right, my friend. We'll take a short break. We'll come back at 1:05. We're going to talk to CSU Rams head coach Steve Adazio. Live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle, this media luncheon, talking to D1 coaches all day. So we'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.